Welcome to The Itinerary, the official travel podcast presented by Premier Custom Travel. Here's your host, Chris Grum.
And we're wrapping up our trifecta of interviews with the folks from the Globus family of brands here at Chick-fil-A. Thank you, Chick-fil-A, for allowing us to hang out and enjoy some chicken sandwiches. And I'm here with Emila Shehovich.
Yes.
All right. And she is both a Globus Tour Director and most recently an Avalon Cruise Director.
Yes.
On the waterways, and I can't wait to talk about that. But I have to ask you, because you have been all over Texas talking to travel advisors over the past, and did you do the Florida leg as well?
No, I started, actually, I landed in Chicago, and then they were so kind to cancel my flight.
We're good at that.
Yeah, you have... Fantastic.
Yeah, we're great at that.
Yes. And then it was in Celsius, minus 22. Ooh. So I don't know. It was minus million degrees. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Exactly that.
It was freezing. Then they didn't give me the rent car. Then I found a driver, a taxi driver. Jose was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
So me and Jose had a wonderful trip of 5 hours down to St. Louis.
Ooh.
I made
5 hour cab fare.
Yes, and I'm invited now to visit him into his house in Mexico.
I am.
I know the kids by name, age, school, everything.
Wow.
So we are very good friends. Now, if you ever need a driver in Chicago, I know the best one. So Jose is the best.
Especially if you need to go to St. Louis.
Or any other place. So I started, yes, from St. Louis. We went to Kansas City. I was in Oklahoma. I was in Springfield, Missouri. I was in Tulsa as well. Then I flew into Dallas. We went to Austin. I haven't seen Austin.
You didn't miss much.
Sorry, don't be Austin. Like that. Don't.
No, we're Houston. We always brag on ourselves. The Texas cities all kind of have a battle going. So, and we don't recognize Dallas as a city.
All right.
So there's that. But so had you been over to the United States before?
No, first time.
Is that right?
It is right, yes.
So did it live up to expectations, either good or bad? I'm just curious.
It's amazing. I have 4 new pairs of Texan boots.
You said that at our presentation today.
Yes.
So what kind of boots did you get?
I got the cowboy boots, white for myself,
okay,
up to the knee, and then another pair for my sister, and another pair for mom, and then a hat for dad, and then the list goes on.
Well, you should stick around about another month or so, and you could go to the world's biggest rodeo.
I could.
We really do have the biggest rodeo in the world, and it takes place in a football stadium.
Nice.
That's how big it is. And it goes for 20 days.
Oh, wow.
And it's all for scholarships for kids. The money raised, is that's what it's for.
I like the place, and I told them that they have to fly me in next year, too. So, yeah, you never know.
Well, we'll have you back for another podcast if
yes,
you do that.
Yes, please. I hope so.
So I'm going to stop talking about me, and we'll stop talking about other cities in Texas because they don't matter. We're going to talk instead about Avalon Waterways, which is the Globus family of brands, river cruise brand. Now, you were a Globus tour director for how many years before you switched to the river?
I started with Cosmos.
Uh-huh.
So I did 6 seasons of Cosmos, 2 of Globus, and the rest would be Avalon, a total of 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you've been all over as well. We talked to Iris a couple of weeks ago, and in real time, it was about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But when these episodes actually wind up on the podcast, we talked to Iris a couple of weeks ago, and she did 19 years, and you're slowly approaching it with 11.
11.
And you just switched over to Avalon Waterways,
yes,
doing the river cruises.
Yes.
So how has that transition been?
It was wonderful. Actually, I applied. When I said I want to be Avalon, I have several family members that work for the company. They started 49 years ago.
Is that right?
My aunt started 49 years ago, met my uncle there. They worked in the same office in Rome, the Rome office of Globus family of brands. The two of them combined 85 years.
Is that right? Now, I should probably back up just a bit. Yeah. You were born in Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Yes.
But you grew up in Italy?
Yes, I grew up in
Italy. So we go over to Italy.
Yes.
And then the family's spending 100 years with the company combined, apparently.
Yeah, imagine. It was a lucky case. My aunt went to study into London years and years ago, 50-something years ago. And then she started to do Cosmos. No, Globus was only Globus at the time. Met my uncle, started to work with him in the office, stay there their whole lives.
That's amazing. So it literally runs in your family.
Definitely. I'm the eighth member of my family working for Global Family of Brands.
And you have, what, 41 tour directors, is that right? Is that the right
42.
Number? 42.
So and I call them me and my 41 twins.
I was going to say, and half of them are your family, so apparently.
No, no, none of them in Avalon. I'm the only one in Avalon.
I know, I'm kidding, but it's just something else that really does literally run in your family.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Avalon Waterways, do you work the same ship or do you bounce around between ships?
We bounce around between ships. Basically, I cover all of Europe.
You cover all of Europe.
Yes,
okay.
We have 11 rivers. Douro in Portugal, we are just opening now as of April. And I will have one Douro cruise this year.
You've got to be excited about that.
I am very excited because we'll be the first ones. We have to test it and to practice and to see all the excursions. Now in March, can't wait.
The thing about it with any cruise ship you work on is you eventually, if you stay on that ship long, and if you see these same itineraries over and over again. Now, granted, it's a lot different when we're going just down to Mexico versus all of Europe.
Yeah.
Amazing differences. But I'm sure you've just got to be excited to really explore a whole new region for the first time.
Every time is excited all over again. We cover all rivers, and most of us will be working on all rivers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a variety, and plus it's good for our clients, for our guests when they come, that they know that they're in safe hands. So that city, I've seen it millions of times.
Well, they'll say, I've been on the Rhine with Emila, but I want to go see now the Rhone or the Rhine or the whatever river it may be.
They can. Yeah.
And they just got to figure out where you are.
Yes, yes. And I have the list.
You have the list.
Yes,
you know your whole season ahead of time?
I do know in December.
That's
and
nice.
It's wonderful. Last year was just for Christmas. Christmas Eve, I got the list. I was like, it was double Christmas.
So you're going to start in Spain in March, or at least you're going to be in Spain
Portugal,
in March. Portugal. My apologies. Not Spain, Portugal. But you're going to start in the Iberian Peninsula area.
Yes.
We'll do that in March. And then where else are you headed?
Then I will go to the Danube. I will have, this is interesting, a culinary cruise.
Ooh. Okay,
yes.
Do tell. We love food here.
So it is a cruise going from Budapest to Prague.
Okay.
So Prague is an extension. So you sail from Budapest as you wish,
right,
to Bratislava, then to Vienna. Then you have the small villages such as Durenstein. Melk.
Okay. Melk is easier for me to say.
Yes. Melk. We stop in all of these villages. We have different programs and excursions. And then off we go. Where do we go? Oh, we go to Germany.
Okay.
And we finish in Passau. We disembark in Vilshofen. And then by coach, we can do the extension. It
okay.
means that we cannot connect to Buda
right.
or to Prague directly. Vltava cannot be sailed, cannot be navigated. But we do, by coach, a transfer to Prague, and there we continue the program. We again have the city tour, the foodie tour in the afternoon.
I was just going to ask you, okay, so what makes this a themed cruise? What additional things will be on a culinary cruise that we might not see on a regular cruise?
First of all, there will be our chef cooking in front of us in the Panorama Lounge.
So like a demo kind of thing, huh?
Like a demo.
Okay.
Then you will join him as well, like a workshop. Yeah. Then we'll have other cooks coming from the outside, some of them for lecturing, some of them again for workshops, and we will have many excursions related to that. So in every of these countries, so Budapest, Hungary, they have one type of food. Then Vienna will have, for example, the Wiener Schnitzel. So we'll go out to a venue to learn how to do the Wiener Schnitzel.
And all these chefs will be local to that region.
Yes.
See, that's fascinating
yes.
to me.
So it's six countries, so six different types of food.
That's got to be amazing.
It will be.
And, you know, we didn't talk about this when we were talking with Archie a few weeks back on the podcast. We talked with him about his journey on the Romantic Rhine,
yes.
which is one of your great itineraries.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We didn't mention theme cruises. And I know I talked with Kelly months back about the brand overall, and we touched on this. But you guys do a bunch of different theme cruises.
Oh, yeah.
World War II and the Normandy beaches,
yes.
The foodie cruises.
Yes.
And why don't you mention, do you have another theme that's one of your favorites?
The wine one. Of course.
Amen. I should have thought of that one first. Well, there's
wine
so
cruises.
Many rivers that you go through with wineries.
Of course. I mean, come on, we go to Provence and Burgundy.
Exactly.
Come on.
Left bank and right bank.
But can you imagine? Some of the best wines are actually coming from Austria and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
They have very good quality wines.
I mentioned with Archie, I'm a sucker for a good Riesling.
Oh, yes.
And Germany has them in spades. But they have other great wines as well. Don't get me wrong. But so the wine cruise. So tell me, what all could I expect on a wine-themed cruise? Because I know you're going to get good wines on the regular cruise.
Yes.
So what do we do to elevate that on a theme cruise?
We go to more wineries than usual. We can make you, we will make you make your own wine. So old-fashioned style, you take off your shoes. Yes. You don't have to drink that
one. I saw that I Love Lucy episode. It didn't end well.
You don't have to drink that one. We'll give you another one.
There you
then they will explain you how they store it, how long can it be there, why is now the French government investing 15 million euros into destroying vineyards, some of them. They will explain you why it's not good. It's not overproduction.
Right.
It has to do with the quality. Because if you... I will not give it away. No, it's my secret. I want it, but you have to come.
That's right. I have to come sail with you.
I'll stop there.
So now a question we also get, and this may not be one you can answer, but I get two questions about the rivers a lot. Number one, if I've never been before, what river should I do first? And it's so hard because there's so many good ones and there's so many options. But if you had to tell somebody, okay, here's the first river cruise you should try.
I can tell you this. Pick the area. There has to be some of your interest.
Okay.
There has to be. If you want something modern, something vibrant, then you will take the Rhine. So there's Amsterdam. It's very much alive. It's full of bicycle. It's 100%. But if it's the first time, take a classical cruise. So classical cruises will have an average of 4 excursions per day, but they will show you the main points. If you wanted to always to see the Eiffel Tower and the Arch of Triumph and you didn't have time, take a classical tour from Paris, cruise on the Seine up to Normandy. Doesn't have to be the World War II.
Right.
Take the classical one. You will see and explore the main points. So if you put a list, you have Amsterdam, you have Paris, you have Frankfurt, you have Strasbourg. And then one of these names will appeal to you. Go to that one. Could be Porto, could be Lisbon, could be Portugal, you know?
Right, right.
One of these names, pick the one that you always wanted. If the Eiffel was the one, then don't come immediately to the Rhine. Come next time. Or connect. It's even better.
That's a great idea.
Start in Paris, finish in Paris, because it's a round one. It's simply amazing. It's only 7 days.
Right.
And then take the fast train, only 2.5 hours. You'll be in Amsterdam and we'll sail the Rhine.
Well, and it's another thing that I think a lot of people that have only done either a big ship cruise or have never done any type of cruise don't understand about the river cruises. And we try to emphasize this often. You're right in the middle of the heart of the cities that you visit. The docking place for Avalon Waterways in Paris is not Le Havre, which is an hour and a half away where the big ships go. You are literally standing on the top deck of your ship looking at the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
It is right there.
Yes.
It can't be more, and I don't think people realize that sometimes.
Well, the first thing you have to realize, everyone and all the people, the only thing we have in common with ocean liners would be water and ship.
There you go.
That's the only thing we have in common. Okay. We have whale, smaller groups. Mm-hmm. We have maximum capacity of 166 people. And the crew will be 55.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a member of the crew for the three of you taking care of you. Okay, we don't split them like that. We have them.
No, I understand.
They have their own assignments, obviously. But honestly, we do pay attention of quality. Everything is about quality. Starting from our food and for our drinks, you will find that all of our drinks are local drinks. All of our food is local food. Every time you're out on the city tour, we have delivery, vegetables, fruits, meats, dairies, twice a week, every ship.
So it's all fresh,
it's
all regional, which is nice.
All regional.
Now, I'm sorry, you were going to say one more thing. You were about to throw
farm to fork.
Farm to fork. I love it. Now, the other question I get from people a lot, especially those who have never been to Europe, when is the best time to go?
Depends what you like.
I know, and that's such a hard question to answer.
Let's do this. I am not a big fan of high heats.
Yes, okay? Me either.
There are people who love it. My father could go to Egypt in the middle of July. He would be the happiest person on earth.
Your father would not be happy in my living room where it's 66 degrees.
There you go. I would.
Yeah, I know. You probably love it.
I would. Yes. He's like a lizard. You know, the more sun, the better. I'm not. So my choice is always November.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's cooler, it's not crowded yet, and so I love it. And his choice was like, you're crazy, you're leaving the house in November. No, he's waiting July, and then it's beach time. Doesn't have to be beach time. He can enjoy it around the city, but as long as it's super hot. So if you prefer that temperature, you will feel better.
So you like the shoulder seasons, which is when I would want to go.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the heat either, which is why this summer when it was 100 degrees back here in Houston, I was in the northern Baltic states. I was in Stockholm and Copenhagen and getting away where it was 65 degrees every day, and that was perfect for me.
I loved it.
So now, do you get to do, with Avalon, have you gotten to do the Christmas markets yet?
I did them for years in Cosmos and in Globus.
Okay.
And somehow this year and last year, I don't have them on my schedule. But you whether do them on a ship or on the coach, those are still the same Christmas markets. So
well,
you
let's
can
talk
ask
about
me.
Them
if
for a bit.
Me.
If yeah, because I think people in the United States, Christmas starts in August when everything's out in Walmart. I mean, I'm not kidding. You know, we go from Valentine's Day in February, and then the Christmas decorations are out.
All right.
And it's not that way in Europe.
No.
The Christmas markets are very, very strict. Basically, the week after Thanksgiving till Christmas Day, and then you're done.
Honestly, they're starting earlier and earlier.
Are they now?
We
okay.
are following the trend, you know.
But not August.
Not August. No, we're not that extreme.
So really, November, December is your
the last week of November, you have them already full and
right.
ready, and they can start. And I will tell you, here you can ask me which one I would recommend. I will always say the Danube, starting
okay.
or finishing in Nuremberg.
And why is that?
Because the original Christmas market started, those are an invention from Nuremberg.
Okay.
That is the original, oldest one, and most authentic Christmas market that you can find on Earth because they started it.
And for people that can't imagine what a Christmas market entails, why don't you give them a little flavor of when you go ashore, what you will see at a Christmas market?
So you will go and you will see all these small stands. They look very Christmassy. They're decorated. Mm-hmm. If there's no real snow, we will put the, you know,
we'll make it snow.
We'll make it snow for you. So they will go from food, local cheeses, local pastries, local sausages. As I mentioned, Nuremberg, you know, German sausages, you have to have them.
I love German sausages, yes.
Beer and plus mulled wine. So that's a highlight. It's always with cinnamon. I love it. It's my favorite one. And
so
plus,
good.
On top of it, you have all the Christmas decorations that you can imagine. So, for the Christmas tree, the
right,
balls.
Right. And so, you basically what you're saying is bring an empty suitcase.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Don't be like me, okay? I have my four pairs of boots and hats and the this and the that. So, I'm flying home with seven suitcases.
So, where is home these days?
Sarajevo, Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Okay, so you've gone back to your birth area.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And then you just hop on the plane and go to wherever the ships are.
Yes.
Well, and when's your first sailing this year?
It will be, well, except for the one that we're testing in...
Oh, yeah, you've got to do a test run before you actually bring passengers?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Well, that'll give you a chance to rehearse, right?
Not rehearse per se, but to check the excursions, the quality of them, every castle, every palace, every vineyard, every winery, every beer place, shopping place, local guides as well, you know. We did plan it carefully. We did work a year on it. Most of my colleagues went, we go to the office, with the office, and we regulate everything, but still before launching it officially, we will do.
So can you give me one thing on the Douro that you're most looking forward to people seeing? Is there one excursion that you've talked about or planned that you just can't wait to go? I can't wait to see this.
I can't wait to see the new ship.
It's
by far the newest ship that we have.
And if I remember correctly, this is a smaller one than some of the other ones.
Has to be smaller because the Douro is the smallest river for navigation
is
in
that
Europe.
Right? Is that
it
right?
It is the smallest
so
one.
So is it what more narrow or the bridges lower or is it a combination of both?
Combination of both.
Because that's a challenge on the main rivers.
On the
European rivers, I should say, is the width and the height of the ships.
I can tell you that the ship, longest ship, can be as long as the shortest lock and as wide as the narrowest
right,
lock.
Right, right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And as high as the shortest, lowest bridge.
So you can go up to about 150, 160 in Europe. What's the number on the Douro?
It goes like that. The largest we have 166
right,
passengers,
166.
128, and 102 in Portugal.
I was just going to say, so 102 in Portugal.
Yes. However, we had to have a smaller ship, but we didn't take any space from you.
I wonder you to repeat that. You didn't take any passenger space away.
No, we did not take any passenger space away because from the largest to the smallest ship that we have, the rooms, your rooms on the ship are exactly the same size. And to begin with, our rooms are 30% bigger than any other room navigating in Europe.
And there are other companies that will put ships on the Douro River in Portugal and put the same number of people that they have on the main continent of Europe.
Yes.
And so what you're getting at is they shrink the rooms down to be able to accommodate that. And you guys said, no, we're not going to do that.
No. We are having less passengers, more commodity.
Right.
And instead, confront to our 102 passengers, which is the maximum, the competition is 150.
That's a huge difference.
That's
44
Sardinas
people.
On the ship. Sardinas on the ship.
That's literally almost doubling what you have. I mean, I'm sorry, 50% more.
Yes, 50%.
Not doubling, but I've got to think that that makes the experience that much better when you have that fewer people on board.
Oh, definitely. It's more private. There's more attention to you. There's more quality. Again, we do everything for quality, not quantity.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've been brushing up on your Portuguese?
Poquito.
I love poquitos. No, that's taquitos. Never mind. My language. How many languages do you speak?
Six.
Yes. All right. So English, obviously.
No, that's only my fifth language. These are not most useful for you, but for me, for my job, they were great. So I speak Bosnian, Croatian, and Serbian.
I would have guessed Bosnian, obviously.
Yeah, Croatian and Serbian. So
okay.
If I had a tour before in Cosmos and in Globus, it was easier for me because I could understand the mentality and the language, so it was easier. Someone else, English-speaking only, for example, colleague, would get stuck, and then they would do background controls and so on. They never checked me. It's like, it's fine. she can move around. Eastern European can be funny. Then, that's what we do. So then I grew up in Italy, so Italian, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Then I watched The Simpsons a lot. Oh. So Homer Simpson was my English teacher. He helped a lot.
So do every once in a while on a tour, do we get a dough?
Yes and no. Depends on the situation.
I would pay good money for that. So you learned English from The Simpsons.
Yes, and then I learned Spanish. Well, Spanish is very similar to Italian, so for me it was easy. I did not pick up on any Portuguese, but I will start to.
I would imagine.
I'm currently learning French.
Oh, I can barely speak English. And my Spanish teacher in high school didn't speak the language, which you would think would be a requirement for teaching it. Apparently not where I grew up. But anyway, so as we wrap up, I look forward to sending customers over to visit you on the Douro and on all the other rivers. Why don't you do me a favor and pick a language and say thank you for listening and come sail with us or something along those lines.
Let's make it weird. Hvala vam puno što ste slušali. Molim vas da opet pratite. Hvala.
That's easy for you to say.
Thanks for listening to The Itinerary, the official travel podcast presented by Premier Custom Travel. You can view the schedule of upcoming podcasts or listen to previous episodes on demand by visiting our website at premiercustomtravel.com/The Itinerary. Join us next time for another edition of The Itinerary.